Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we're going to discuss how to manage a virtual team, and we haven't discussed this, so I'm really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Our question comes from an individual who has 8 employees to oversee and finds that it's difficult for her to foster a team environment when no one works in the same room.
Yeah, that sounds like a very real challenge, and I hope more people will send questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
So, Logan, let's just go to the question.
I'm the manager of 8 employees. They all work virtually. I don't know how to keep them all accountable to me and how to have them interact with each other consistently. They don't communicate informally, as you would at an on-site company. My staff seems to have trouble communicating clearly and succinctly what they need from other team members. Any suggestions?
I mean, I have a lot of questions for this manager because I'm not sure, if she has everyone have a meeting together on Zoom so that everybody's looking at each other. I don't know what this person is doing, but it doesn't sound like whatever this person is doing is enough. So, virtual teams is not new. It's been going on a long time, and it's not going away. It's only going to get more and more popular. So you have to figure out a way, whether it's online, everybody can, Zoom is a great vehicle for everybody being online and seeing each other, but there's other vehicles. There's internal online platforms where companies can actually see each other and, or you don't even have to have the visual, but they know what's going on with each other. So you have to figure some kind of platform out where everybody, looks like they're in the same room, but they're not.
Yeah.
And they can communicate whenever they want.
Well, and to that point, I think one of the challenges and that can happen is if you rely too much, say, on email or texting or those kinds of flat communication, that some miscommunication can happen pretty easily.
I mean, miscommunication happens when two people are in the same room, So this just adds another element. But I was talking to a client this morning, and she said they do one Zoom meeting, everyone, I think she's got about 14 people, for an hour and a half once a week, and then others will discuss what they just get on Zoom to talk to each other when they have something they're working on. And some people stay on Zoom all day long because they really enjoy one another. So every team has to figure, has to figure out how they're going to stay in touch. But I mean, there's definitely tools to keep everyone in touch. So I'm, if you've got rogue employees that won't stay in touch, that's another issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it, I mean, it's working for a lot of people. So I have more questions than answers for this manager.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying, though, is that the manager sets the tone, that they create the format in a way for everyone else to participate. So whoever the client you spoke to today that she does an hour and a half meeting, that's her, either she or her company has that as a prescription. Like, this is what we do, and then here are other ways that we meet and communicate and let each other know what's happening.
Yeah, and also, I don't know the age of this person, but, so the person I talked to, they're used to it. It's not a new thing that they have to figure out. She's kind of in most of her and her colleagues' jobs. This is something they've done before.
Yeah.
So they don't find it that difficult. But I remember way back, many, many years ago, before people did work virtually, I worked with a company in the South. And we had to be in touch with them a lot. And we just talked all day long. And we became very good friends. And we only met maybe once or twice a year. But we were always on the phone. Hey, what's happening? I need this order to get shipped. Whatever it was, we were constantly in communication, and we had direct lines. We didn't actually have to call them. We had these direct lines to them because it was a company that was working throughout the country. So every company has to figure that out, like what's their communication platform.
Right.
And then you've really got to get people to use it. And, if you have team members that are falling out, then you have to make it more mandatory.
That's what I was thinking, is that maybe what's hard for this manager is to demand of the employees that mm-hmm. they participate in certain ways so that everyone does clearly know what's going on, and to create, that, like you were saying, like
camaraderie.
Camaraderie and a decision, like, here's what we're going to do. If three people are involved in an issue, we're not going to email about it in a triangular way for hours at a time. You're going to get on mm-hmm. a Zoom or a Skype or whatever call, and you're going to sort it out with each other. Like, mm-hmm. no more. I remember actually one company saying no more than four back and forth emails or something like that. Uh-huh. And then mm-hmm. you have to communicate in some way in a live fashion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you want to get your team really liking one another. And that's something you would do when you actually have meetings where yeah. everybody comes together, which is not that frequent. So that they actually look forward to working together. And if there's issues within the team, that has to be handled by the manager. You've got to, you know, whether you bring them together and mediate it, but you've got to get rid of those. But this shouldn't really be, with technology, that difficult.
No. Mm-hmm. How often would you suggest this manager meet with each of these employees individual? They're complaining about not being able to hold them accountable.
Right.
Once a week. Yeah, at least once a week, maybe more.
Right.
Where, you know, they're on top of what they're working on, mm-hmm. what they need. What's really important about staff meetings, and this is important even if you work in the same room, is everybody needs to report out what they're working on and what they need help with from one another, so that they know where their work falls in the cycle and how they're affecting one another.
But I think that's also a good point, Logan, just in terms of the individual, the one-on-one is probably even more important if everyone's virtual, right? Because you don't want anyone to sort of fall by the wayside.
Right, right.
And we had another person who ran virtual teams many times. She said one of the problems could be that if you had three people live in a meeting and two or three virtual, it's hard to make sure that they stayed visible, mm-hmm. even if they were on the video or whatever, but really stay part of the conversation.
Yes.
Oh, right. She was saying that some were only audio.
Right.
And the others were video. Everybody needs to be video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I will tell you that if they're audio, they're doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
They're shopping online, they're answering emails, they're not present. So you want everybody on video.
Yeah,
I think it's really critical. And then you'll see if they're paying attention or not.
Mm-hmm. So to create accountability, you create systems of mm-hmm. accountability, mm-hmm. right? So you either have the full staff meeting, you have the one-on-one meetings, you create systems for how people are going to solve problems, and requirements for participation is what it mm-hmm. sounds like mm-hmm. in a video fashion.
Yeah. I mean, it's really not that different. If you're on top of your staff in terms of understanding their workload and what their accountability is to you.
Mm-hmm.
So once you understand that and you're on top of each person's workload, you are managing, effectively managing. Now you've got to get the team to work together.
Yeah. Right.
And that would be through these live meetings, which sometimes are better than in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not everybody likes working virtually, by the way. I think that's a false assumption that some
yeah.
people do.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people like it occasionally because they can get some work done, but people are human creatures where they like socialization, and that's mm-hmm. what these online meetings, or even if you have them during the day, throughout the day, people like, they like socialization, and there are some that don't. I don't know them.
I know them quite well, actually. And I was just thinking about that. What if you have a reticent employee, like someone who comes up with reasons for why they can't be on the, you know, meeting.
Well, it's mandatory. I mean, this is the way you run.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they were in the office and they didn't show up for a meeting? What would that? That mm-hmm. would be insubordination. That would be, well, you're part of a team.
Yeah.
So it's mandatory.
I hear you. I guess I've worked with someone who had three or four people who were reporting in, and one of them was just very reluctant. And ultimately, this person had to get the support of the higher management to really enforce, mm-hmm. you know, the boundaries or the rules of participation.
You know, look, I don't know who they're managing, but there are certain departments where it's, you know, maybe it's technology or it's scientific and the people are more introverted and they work very well in solitary confinement and they really are uncomfortable in a you have to know who your audience is. Yeah. But if somebody just doesn't want to show up because they're not dressed, I mean, why would somebody say no to a mandatory meeting in their company?
Yeah. Right,
what would be the reason?
I don't know, they could give an excuse of some kind. I don't know, like their technology isn't working for some reason. I don't know. I mean, I just know that there are ways that people can bow out of things. And we've seen it, many different ways that people can bow out of
things. Right, but it's your job as a manager to figure out.
Right, so it's first setting the
expectations.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, figuring out what it is you need as a manager to have the team work effectively and to have them interacting effectively.
I'd be very suspicious if somebody couldn't show up. Either they're not really working, or they're working in some environment that they don't want you to see, or I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you worked in a company where you actually had to go there every day, that's not mandatory to go to a staff meeting. It's not up to your discretion. I don't feel like it today.
Yeah.
So it's really the same rules. Mm-hmm. So there's something suspicious with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And right.
I don't know whether their work performance is there, you know, but, you have to set the expectations that, you know, you have this great way you work out of your home. You know, we supply all the technology. You know, you make your own hours in most cases, but this is a mandatory meeting that we have, and you are responsible to your workmates, colleagues.
All right. So I'm going to recap what we said. And specifically, it is you start with, if you're the manager, you have to set the expectations and set the protocol. So, for example, we would highly recommend at least a weekly all-staff meeting of some duration. It should be video so everyone can be seen and interact with each other. You may also want to have one-on-ones with your staff, and you come up with a certain kind of formula of how often they need to interact with each other and in what ways. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Yeah, I think you just take the same principles of managing staff and you apply them to your workforce the same way. You know, I don't, you know, also really depends, you know, do they have flex hours or is the workday, you know, usually virtual means there could be in a different time zone.
Right.
So that has to be considered also. It's really no different.
Right.
Yeah. And I would just add one other thing, which is that the whole email, I think that if you can come up with some sort of standards for email practices, because that I could see as something that would get very convoluted or many long chains going on between groups, that to make clear parameters around that kind of correspondence would also help. Mm-hmm. That's it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about working on a virtual team, just working virtual in general.
And if you want to get on to our email list, you can text us now at 228-28 and type in My Crazy Office. That's 228-28, My Crazy Office. And you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be back after the break.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back. So we're talking about working virtually and having virtual teams that you have to respond to. And we would love your tweets and your emails and tell us how you're doing with working virtually. We work virtually with a lot of clients.
Yes, we do.
And many of them are through the phone. People like that. We do some through Skype. We do some through Zoom. Mm-hmm. But the phone really works, I find. I don't really, do you feel it's different than working in person?
Yes.
You do? How so?
Well, I mean, there's a difference in, for me, one-to-one face or two-to-one facing someone, talking to them, there is a difference, for
sure.
So
you like it better?
No, I mean, they're different. Each one is different. In some regards, I mean, if I'm working with a client on the phone, sometimes I think they will tell me, they may be more candid about certain mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. than they would be if mm-hmm. we were facing each other. Mm-hmm. Skype and Zoom and those things I use quite a bit with my clients, so then I can see what's going mm-hmm. on for them. That's handy. But there is a difference just in terms of, in my experience, energetically, what mm-hmm. I pick up and what I'm observing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm dealing with emotions and mm-hmm. internal working, so it's mm-hmm. there's a difference. But I do think that working virtually can be extremely powerful and effective, and I mm-hmm. certainly think for the executive coaching that we do, and so much executive coaching is done mm-hmm. Either through video or phone conference.
Yeah, I have clients I've never met in person.
Right.
I don't know. I can pick a lot up through mm-hmm. the phone. I don't feel handicapped by it. Mm-hmm. But I think, so just to go from working from home, because I know that is not a good for a lot of people.
Yeah. It wasn't that good for me.
Yeah,
for
I didn't love it either.
That's why we're here.
I can't imagine that I could work from home. Even when we go on long vacations from the office, after a few days, I'm like, okay, I need to get back to some kind of structure and getting dressed and going out to some place. And then,
There's that part. And for me, I always see every dust ball and the refrigerator. Right. And if you're home, it's a different energy than if you're in the office. There's nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that the key to working at home is to create your routines and to have that. And they should include, of course, this is our bias, my bias, but you should have exercise in there. You should have a regular start time if you can do it mm-hmm. and breaks throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And you do have to withhold your desire to clean up those dust bunnies mm-hmm. or, clean out the refrigerator or. People will call you because they think you have time on your hands often when you work at home, mm-hmm. right? And so you have to learn to respect your own time, I think, in a way that can be challenging.
Yeah, I think you have to shut it off, too, at night because there's the tendency like, oh, well, I'll just go have dinner, do the laundry, and then I'll come back and work, which will be around 8, 9 o'clock. And that's not really healthy. Like, get it done.
Yeah.
Do your work in your office. And I like a separate office. I think it's important, or at least an area.
Yeah.
So nothing gets moved. You know, it's not your dining room table that then gets cleared up every night. That's a really easy way to lose things.
Yeah.
But a real designated area. But I still think you get cabin fever. You don't get out. You don't interact as much.
Well,
and some people love it.
But some people also then create other pockets of community. So their gym may become a community for mm-hmm. them. I was just talking to someone who has a knitting circle that she goes to on a regular basis. You may need to have a book club or go to regular meetups of some kind or do networking of some kind or participate in something that is more one-on-one or interactive mm-hmm. and hands-on. Mm-hmm. I know I needed to do that.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of cafes that have free Wi-Fi.
There sure are.
Right. To go for a few hours. Yeah. Right.
I used to make an early appointment every day. That way I had to get dressed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I'd have a breakfast meeting or I'd meet somebody. And I would get out and start being more functional. And then I could come back and I felt more alive.
Right.
So, although I have worked in my pajamas. I bet you have too. Well, whatever I sleep in. I don't even sleep in pajamas. Just my...
I have not, honestly, I've never worked
You've
in my
never?
Pajamas.
You've never? You get dressed?
You get dressed? Not even the bottoms? You dress up the top and you leave the pajama pants on the bottom?
You can tell some people are doing that,
you can
too.
Tell.
You know they better not stand up.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I have done is I've overslept, and then had to be on a call where I was
half sleepy.
Yeah.
Oh, that sleepy look. Did you comb your hair? So you have bad hair? Yeah.
I ran into the bathroom and tried to do some minimal
repair. That's part of it, though, is that, you don't always look as professional because, it's the dog's looking at you,
That's right. Or if you have a child who's running around making noise, that can be, stressful. I think the thing that you're saying about I want to bring up actually a distinction between two basic personality types, because that really would influence your experience of working by yourself. There are, on one end of the spectrum, there are what's called subjective personalities. And so for anyone who's listening, if you're subjective, you love to do things from start to finish by yourself. You don't need input from other people. You don't really need to be part of a group decision-making process. In fact, you can't stand understand it. For that kind of individual, a lot of time alone is actually good. It's not bad. And so the need to interact socially is much less than for this other kind, which is called an objective personality. Objective personalities are the people who get stimulated by virtue of exchanging ideas with other people. And Kathy, I think it's fair to say you're objective, I am. Logan, I think you've got a little bit of both going on, right?
A little bit of both.
But as you said, you can do so much on your own, and then you need other people.
Absolutely.
So your need for interaction outside of your home will depend on really how you're designed and how much, if you notice that when you spend too much time alone, you become like a wilting flower, right? You start to get a little fuzzy and you just don't have any energy. You're probably objective and you need to get out and interact with others in order to re-energize.
Yeah, my husband spends hours working by himself.
Yeah. David is subjective, for sure.
And he has zero problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cliff too.
And any noise that comes in is a real, like, oh my God, that's an offense. So it's interesting where I look for that.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you have to figure this out for yourself, but it's not always great. Like a lot of people want. Yeah. And sometimes to have both, you have days where you can work from home and other days where you go in. That could be a nice balance. Right. A lot of people tell me they like that because, you know, being in the office, it's a lot of distractions.
Right.
So sometimes it's nice to have a day to get stuff done.
Right.
That's right. So if you want to get some real work done, you stay at home.
Yeah. But you're still, you know, you still have to answer email, text, you know, phone calls. You still have to be connected.
Right.
Because your work, unless, you know, you are, I don't know, I can't think of any work that's really done in isolation, maybe just David composing, but I mean,
it's programming could be.
Right. But mostly you're part of a team and you're, whatever work you're doing, there's people at one end or the other, either expecting it or doling it out. I mean, you're working with other people and you do have to be responsible to them.
Right. Okay, that's it. Join us for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories and advice to AskK2. Review us on iTunes. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.